In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Word of God for our sermon this evening is recorded in John's Gospel. We read in the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world." This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, Jesus is a king. From his earliest life, people referred to him as a king. Do you remember what the wise men who came from the east to visit Jesus said when they got there and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" When Jesus called Nathanael to discipleship, what was the confession that Nathanael made? "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." God willing, in just a couple of weeks on Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, we will see and hear that his action is in fulfillment of what the prophet Zechariah wrote about Jerusalem. "See, your king comes to you." On Good Friday night, or rather Monday, Thursday night, early Good Friday morning, the leaders of the Jews called Jesus a king in derision before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate then, to get to the bottom of their accusation, rightfully asked Jesus about that accusation and said, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus clearly, truthfully, as we heard last week, answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king." This evening, as we look at that name of wondrous love, King, we'll see, though, that there's a bit of a difference between the king that the Jewish leaders wanted and the king we need. And as we see that, we'll come to realize that his name, King, his title, King, is a name of wondrous love. Skipping ahead a little bit, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is what Pontius Pilate ordered written on what's called the Titulus Crucis above Jesus' head on the cross. Remember, it was written in Greek and in Hebrew and in Latin. The leaders of the Jews went to Pilate and said, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said he was the King of the Jews." But to no avail, I might add. Remember, Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." God the Father, through the act of a heathen governor, put above Jesus' head his name of wondrous love for all those at the foot of the cross to see, for all those who would read these words in future centuries. But they didn't want Pilate to write that Jesus was the King of the Jews, because the leaders of Israel and many in the crowd did not accept the kingship of Jesus because he was not the king that they wanted. The leaders of the Jews had hoped for a king who would pat them on the backs, tell them how righteous they were, and would be their cohorts in leading Israel out from under Roman bondage. They wanted a king that would rebel against Roman servitude and would return the nation to the glory days of David and Solomon. The leaders of the Jews wanted a king who would agree with them that they were by far more holy than anyone else. And so we can understand when Jesus called them a bunch of mausoleums, you know, white on the outside and full of dead bones on the inside, when he called them a brood of vipers, that they didn't see in him the king that they wanted. And so it was time to get rid of him. He had to be turned over and somehow gotten out of the picture. And so they brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate. They didn't want to defile themselves by going into this heathen meeting place for the Sabbath and for Passover. And so they stood outside. So they're standing outside, and Jesus is on the inside. They've taken him to the inside. So Pilate came out, he heard the accusation, and then he went in to talk with Jesus. And he asked him right out, "Are you a king?" And Jesus, you notice, when he was being falsely accused, when he was being mocked and scorned, he never opened his mouth. He never tried to argue against the lies. But when somebody asked him a direct question, like the Sanhedrin and Pilate, about who he is, Jesus did not hesitate to claim that name of wondrous love. "I am a king. That's why I was born. That's why I came into this world. I may not be the kind of king that my people want, but I am the King of the Jews." Now let's apply that question to ourselves or to us. Jesus is our king. Is he the king that we want? Well, what do we want in a king? Well, we would want a king to protect us from our enemies, particularly spiritual enemies. We would want a ruler who would provide our daily needs, even of our bodies. We would want a monarch who would rule over our hearts and over our lives and keep his promise that one day he is going to take us into a perfect heavenly kingdom. Is that the king that we want? Sure. Yes. But what about sometimes when we think that Jesus isn't being the king that we want or the king that we need? You know, we think sometimes we need and want a king who is going to make sure we never suffer, that we never have any problems or difficulties in life. And so when those come, aren't we tempted to ask, is Jesus really the king we need? Our king gives us our daily bread. But sometimes we think Jesus should give us more than we need today. Sometimes we begin to think that living from paycheck to paycheck is a bad thing or a wrong thing. I've always thought living from paycheck to paycheck is a perfect parallel to give me today my daily bread. But what about when our King doesn't give us as much as we think we need or as much as we want? Then aren't we tempted to think, well, maybe Jesus really isn't the King that we need? Or when sickness or death come into this world and we think that our King should grant us the same long life that we think we should have and that we need and want to have, or that our loved ones we want or think that they need, and then that doesn't work out, then again that temptation comes into our lives. Our King, because that's one of His names of wondrous love, has forgiven us for those foolish times when we have not appreciated His perfect rule in our lives. We ask that through this sermon and through the other times that we hear God's Word, particularly the Gospel, that we are not only reassured and given that forgiveness of our sins, but also that love of our King, that wondrous name, would move us to ever greater trust, ever greater reliance, to not look for the King that we want or the King that we feel that we should have, but rather to see Jesus as that King that we need, and that He takes care of our needs perfectly. What kind of a King is that that we need? Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Pilate was a politician. Pilate was a man of the Roman Empire. He understood what Caesar's, which is Latin for king, are all about. They're about having an empire that you can see on a map because it has particular visible boundaries and borders. He knows that a king, when he wants, can extend those borders or try to, because an earthly king has an army with which he protects his citizens or with which he conquers his enemies. Pilate knew that earthly kings could collect taxes and duty from their people. When he could see that this was not that kind of king standing in front of him, and Jesus told him, in fact, "I'm not that kind of king." In fact, you've probably already heard what happened in Gethsemane. He said, "You know, if I was an earthly king, my soldiers would fight for my release." What had happened in Gethsemane? Peter had taken out his sword and tried to fight, and Jesus told him to put it away. So Jesus was telling Pilate, what has already happened shows you and proves to you that I'm not an earthly king. My kingdom is from another place. It's from a better place. We reinforce this evening that truth that we talked about last week, that here was Pilate's opportunity to see Jesus as his Savior King. A king who was saying to him, "I'm not here to threaten Caesar. I'm not here to try to take some of the Roman Empire away from him. I'm not here to lead a rebellion, the reason that Barabbas was in jail. I'm here because I want to rule your heart. I am here to shed my blood on the cross. I am here to go out and to win subjects not at the end of a sword, but through the good news of my holiness and my sacrifice of that holiness for the whole world on the cross. Pilate, I am a king. I want to be your king. I am the world's king, not only as its creator, but also as its redeemer. What a wonderful and blessed truth there lies in that wondrous name of King. Jesus, through the gospel, rules the hearts and minds of his people. Jesus, as our ascended and reigning King, rules over the universe for the sake and for the good of the church. Are you a king? Pilate asked. And he heard Jesus' amazing answer, but he didn't really hear it. He didn't really listen. Instead of kneeling before his king, he turned him over to be crucified. By God's grace, again, we sing in this Lenten season, crown him, the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wondering eye at mysteries so bright. Jesus Christ is our matchless King. In faith, we confess that name of wondrous love, King. He is not always, in our foolishness, the King that we think we want. But he is always in the truth of his word to which we cling as his children, the King that we need. And our King has much more waiting for us in that heavenly kingdom to promise to take us to an eternity where death can no longer slay me and sin can no longer stain me. There, he has perfect care waiting for us, his subjects, and perfect peace for our hearts. And it is in that heavenly kingdom where we will bow down before the feet, before our heavenly King, and join with all the company of saints and all the hosts of heaven and sing his praise now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.